Happy Easter and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today is the sixth Sunday in Easter time. Time is moving right along and we are moving closer and closer to what should be an ordinary season for all of us. We're in fact only 2 weeks away from the celebration of the descent of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost and being able to really christen and birth the church into its fullness on that particular day. And we'll touch a little bit more upon that in future teachings because we're beginning to turn the focus from Easter Sunday toward Pentecost and beyond, looking at how we are to be the people of God, motivated by the Holy Spirit of God within us. And as such, we are going to turn our prayers a little bit as well, to focus a little bit upon our gathering and how we are to come together. In these current days when we're not able to go out into public and experience the world as we ought, we find ourselves in a situation where we need to remind ourselves of the gospel message. So today's prayer and the prayers for the next couple days will be taken from the Canticle of Zechariah, that is part of the liturgy, the daily office liturgy of morning prayer. And the reason why I'm choosing this is because it does have a very good line in it, that the oath that he swore to our father Abraham was to set us free, free to worship him without fear. And today we live in a day and age where we're staying at home in fear. And the one thing we need to have is the Holy Spirit come down upon us and free us so that we can truly worship him, so that we can go to our local churches and celebrate as we've done for centuries and truly come together as a people of God and worship our Almighty God and Father, not in our homes, but in congregations with one another, because that is who we are called to be, people with one another. So without too much ado, let us turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer and begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first reading for the sixth week, or the sixth Sunday in Easter time, is a reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ to them. With one accord, the crowds paid attention to what was said by Philip. When they heard it and saw the signs he was doing, for unclean spirits crying out in a loud voice came out of many possessed people, and many paralyzed and crippled people were cured. There was a great joy in that city. Now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who went down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for it had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord. Let all the earth shout to God with joy. Let all the earth shout to God with joy. shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing praise to the glory of his name. Proclaim his glorious praise. Say to God, how tremendous are your deeds. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Let all on earth worship and sing praise to you. Sing praise to your name. Come and see the works of God, his tremendous deeds among the children of Adam. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. He has changed the sea into dry land. Through the river they passed on foot. Therefore, let us rejoice in him. He rules by his might forever. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Hear now, all you who fear God, while I declare what he has done for me. Blessed be God, who refused not my prayers, nor his kindness. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. The second reading this Sunday is a reading from the first letter of St. Peter. Beloved, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for the reason of your hope, but do so with gentleness and reverence, keeping your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who defame your good conduct in Christ may themselves be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that be the will of God, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once, the righteous for the sake of the unrighteous, that he might lead you to God. Put to death in the flesh, he was brought to life in the Spirit. The word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Whoever loves me will keep my word, says the Lord, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The gospel this Sunday is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept, because it neither sees nor knows him. But you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me. But you will see me, because I live and you will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." In the name of the Father, the gospel of the Lord. Amen. See, even I have a brain fart. Ah, such beautiful stuff to be studying today, especially from the Gospels and the Word and everything that we see here, especially this promise that the Spirit of truth will come to us, because the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And we are starting to really notice this change, as I mentioned earlier, from the focus on the resurrection to the focus on Pentecost. And we find it here in John's Gospel. As we've been studying these last couple days, John's Gospel gives us a foretaste of how the revelation of God is wrapped up into a gospel message that is sacramental, incarnational, and about the Holy Spirit. And this is something that we begin to see here. As we begin to anticipate what's going to happen in about 2 weeks on Pentecost, and we begin to see the focus as the readings today begins to have on the gifts of the Spirit as the outcome of the resurrection. Because we receive from Christ, the blessings that come to us from his death, burial, and resurrection. And as resurrected people, we begin to experience God in a very unique way. And it's partly because of this that we're able to do greater works than him. The greater works that comes to us who obey his commandments. And notice the commandments that he gives. He who obeys the commands he has from me, that one is someone who loves him. The real test of your love of God is whether or not you do what he wants you to do. I mean, that's a very simple way of going about it. If you hate God, you want it your way. If you love God, you will do it his way. Think about this in how we relate to one another. If we really care about somebody, are we worried about whether or not we get our backs rubbed or are they are comforted? Think about a parent's love for a child. Will they sacrifice and make sure that they have the last bit of meal when everybody's starving? Or will they try to cook the kid? One shows love for the kid. The other does not. And this is really where the Gospels begin to point us to right now. And it shows to us that obedience marks the beginning and end of everything in our lives. Because the gospel begins with, if you love me, you will obey the commands I give you, and he'll give you the paraclete. And it ends with, he who obeys the commands he has from me is the man who loves me, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. All this is all tied together, obedience and love. You see, obeying Christ is proof of the loving and condition of receiving the Holy Spirit. So you can't receive a Holy Spirit if you're unholy. This is why the world cannot receive him, and why certain Christians in states of sin can't do much for the church or for God, because they're not living lovingly with their Father. They're rebellious, and that needs to be worked out and repented. And I know, even in my own life, I've gone through periods of time where I have needed to repent of certain things that came about because I was like, yeah, who cares? I mean, we all go through those phases. That's why we have confession, so that we can repent and become more like Christ. And it was one of those things that was debated in the early church and led to what is known as the Donatist heresy, because there was a certain bishop that said, nope, if you fall away, you're done. And that's not how the gospel is really understood by most, and they were basically defeated to the point that it was stated that you can repent, you can come, and we really started to develop what would eventually become the sacrament of reconciliation as we know it, where there was true confession and true contrition. But that's a topic for another day. But just showing you here, obedience is important, how you live your life. A lot of people assume that we are trying to earn our salvation as Catholics because we obey the commandments and so on and so forth. That's not the point of the commandments. That's not the point of any of the laws and religious mandates that we get either through the church or through scripture or how we understand it in our own understanding and apply it to our lives. Because all those things are is just a testimony of what we do not to lose the salvation, not to lose the gift that was given to us by Christ, who died on a cross and rose again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Because this Holy Spirit only comes to us when we are truly living right, when we are truly doing the things that we are called to do. Notice that it's within this idea of believing and obeying that we find the condition for truly receiving the Spirit. Since the words and deeds of the church reveal the Spirit's presence, just as the words and deeds of Christ showed who he was, we must live holy lives and reveal Christ to the world. I mean, that's why the most famous saying that people attribute to St. Francis of Assisi is that we will always preach, but sometimes we'll use words. I'm kind of paraphrasing a little bit, but that's pretty much how it's associated with him. And it may or may not have been him who originally coined it, but it's attributed to him. So it's just one of those things. And it's showing us that the Spirit's presence is a presence of an individual that can be called a paraclete, because when he asked the Father to send an advocate, another in his place, a paraclete, he's sending him, sending you and me, a helper. Because this term, paraclete in the Greek, means advocate, mediator, or helper, because we take together with him our infirmity. This is how Romans 8 describes it. It uses a word that says that we take together with him our infirmities. We're taking hold of it. He's taking hold of it. He's helping us carry it. Get the image of carrying like a big, heavy couch or sofa into your house or carrying it out of your house. You need somebody else to help you lift it up because it's a heavy piece of furniture. And the Holy Spirit will help you if you want to overcome any addiction. It's not just you alone. It's you with him. And you're being helped by him because it's obedience. It's how you cooperate with him. That's why when we receive the gospel, and we know we need to either get baptized or go to confession, because those are the two definite means by which we receive forgiveness, remission of sins. If we are new converts to Christianity that have never been baptized, baptism is sufficient. But after baptism, we come to the church even more and come to Christ even more by confessing our sins one to another, as James chapter 5 tells us. I mean, there's the scripture for it. And the basis for our forgiveness from them, from that priest, comes from the dictate of Jesus when he rose, when he said to the apostles, "Receive you the Holy Spirit. And whose sins you bind are bound on earth, those sins you loose are loosed in heaven." So this is where he comes in. He's another mediator. He reminds us of all that Jesus Christ has done. And this is the promise that we receive and now are looking forward to. It's the reason why when we're stuck in homes nowadays, we need to be tarrying until we are endued with this power from on high. Because this is really what transforms the world. This is what allows us to go back out and solve the difficulties of the world around us. Because if we really pay attention and we look at how it's told to us, we venerate the Lord, or we make him holy. We worship him in our hearts, because Christ in us is the hope of glory, the hope of glory in the Holy Spirit. And it tells us to keep our conscience clear, as Peter tells us in the second reading, because we need to really be able to know the answer to why it is we believe. That's why you're here studying with me these thoughts in our daily presentations throughout with the Gospels and such and so forth, and really learning what it is that's all about here. And we see that Christ died for sins once for all. And this is something many Protestants will have a problem with the Catholic Mass. We believe that it's the one sacrifice. We believe that it's been made real to us today, just like it was 2,000 years ago when he actually died. And it's something to where when you talk to them and they talk about applying the blood or being born again, that's the benefit of the cross being made available to them. They're just not understanding our perspective because they've been taught incorrectly about what we believe. And that's a big, huge, and I mean huge, issue between us and them. So that's something that needs to be taken into account. And this is why Christ suffered for us. And it reminds us that if God wills that even you or I should suffer, we should be suffering for good deeds, not evil ones. We should be punished for being true Christians who are obedient, not disobedient children that need to be thrown in jail because we've embezzled or we've lied or we've cheated and done something that truly deserves us to be condemned. But that's the reality that we come into all this with. So if we do that, we'll understand the gospel a little bit more further and more truly as we ought to. And we'll begin to really understand how the Spirit brings unity to us who hold on to the apostolic witness of Christ found in the Catholic Church, attesting to the risen Christ who through God brings us closer to our eternal beatitude, where we will be blessed forevermore.